invite you this morning to take your Bibles out and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I want you to imagine two men who have gone to the same church for 30 years together. Let's just name them Randy and Jim. I made up these names, so it's no one in particular. They have sat near each other for 30 years in church. They've experienced the changes in the church over the years, and they have seen each other grow old. They have seen each other's children grow up and then move out of the home. And every time that they see each other when they attend church, they always greet each other with a smile, and they always converse with some small talk, talking about sports or the weather or the changes in the community over the years, things like that. And yet, after 30 years, here they are, and their relationship has never gone deeper. They may have known each other for 30 long years, but the relationship is 3 inches deep. They know each other, but they don't truly know each other. They could have each grown in their spiritual walk through the help of the other one, but they thought that they could just kind of go along as a Christian lone ranger. And as a result, they have each faced their own trials and struggles alone. They could have been a tremendous help to each other. And so one day, Jim is laying on his deathbed and Randy stops by. But Randy doesn't know what to say because at this point, their relationship has never really gone deep. And as Randy thought about what to say, his mind raced through all of the surface-level talk that they had through the years. And since they never really got close, this bedside visit felt odd. It was a time to be close, but their friendship wasn't close. And so going deeper right then, it felt awkward. They've never done that before. They have never pried into each other's hearts and grew strong in their friendship and helped each other through their struggles. And as Randy sat there considering all of this, he was struck with the fact that this may be the last time that he sees Jim, and yet 30 years were wasted on peripheral things. They could have been like iron sharpening iron, yet their relationship wasn't strong, and so they never sharpened each other. And as Randy sat there, he thought, I wish I could go back. I wish I would have gotten to know Jim more and gone deeper with him and been more of a spiritual help to him through the years. That's such a sad scenario, isn't it? Here are two guys who could have been deep, close friends that helped and encouraged and strengthened each other in the faith. I mean, they're prime candidates for a deep, close, iron-sharpening iron relationship, and yet it never happened. Their relationship was friendly, of course, but it was not deep nor close. And my question for you is, do we really want to end up like Jim and Randy? Don't we want something more than that? At the end of our lives, don't we want to say something more, to be more than the shallow or even average depth with one another, but to have relationships that are close and deep and affectionate, to be relationships where we help each other, where we encourage one another, where we are close and encourage one another through thick and thin, and we stir one another up to love and good works, to be relationships that don't feel like merely acquaintances or even sort of like co-workers, but actually feel like family. Now, this isn't only, of course, me calling us to this, because I call all of this to this, because the Bible shows us that these are the relationships we are to have, is deep and close relationships. But I also know that you too long for deeper relationships. According to our recent survey that we did among you, 92% of you desire to have deeper relationships with people in the church. And yet, almost all of us want deeper relationships, 92% of us feel like our relationships with others are only average in depth here. And so we desire to have deep relationships, but we don't feel like we have them here. And in one way, this is a good place to be in, because we have the desire and now we can look to God's word to help us. Now we can open up God's Word and let it mold us and shape us to help us change to have these deepening relationships. And so for the next 2 weeks, I want to look at and expound upon two of the, of course, many passages that will help us to go deeper with one another. And so the last 2 weeks were about more so welcoming new people and inviting them in. And now today and next week are going to be more about, okay, now in our relationships with one another, let's go deeper. How can we do that? And so the first text this morning is 1 Thessalonians 2. And I want you, as I read, to just think about the relational dynamics going on here with Paul and the Thessalonians. So starting in verse 1. For you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain. But though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. For our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed, God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaimed to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct towards you believers. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. We also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. For you, brothers, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea, for you suffered the same things from your own countrymen as they did from the Jews, who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out, and displeased God and opposed all mankind, by hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles that they might be saved, so that as always to fill up the measure of their sins, but wrath has come upon them at last. But since we were torn away from you, brothers, for a short time, in person, not in heart, we endeavored the more eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face, because we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, again and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy. I know there's a lot in this passage, but I want to focus on what we see about Paul's relationship with the Thessalonians and also Paul's co-laborers as well with them. And what they show us, what about our relationships and what they are to be. And so Paul is here speaking on behalf of himself and his co-laborers, and he describes his relationship with the Thessalonians in many places through this chapter. And the one thing that we see is that our relationships are to be Bible-infused. All right, you can go to that next slide if you don't mind. Our relationships are to be Bible-infused. I want you to think about if someone overheard all of your conversations with other Christians, would there be any difference between your conversations with other Christians and the conversations that unbelievers have with one another? But sadly, many times our Christian relationships are devoid of the Word of God. And this ought not to be. We're to be people of the Word. Christian relationships are not to be like secular relationships. Rather, our talk must be governed by and permeated with the Word of God. Because if all of our talk with other believers is only and ever about the things of this world, there is something wrong. If it is devoid of the Word of God at all, there is something wrong. We are people of the Word. And so Paul's example here shows us that Christian relationships are Word-speaking relationships. That is, the Word of God-speaking relationships. And the truth is, you can't go deeper with one another without God's Word. And so you see Paul, and he's someone who boldly spoke the Word of God, even amidst hardship. In verse 2, he explains that even though he faced great conflict before and even during his time with the Thessalonians, he still spoke God's word. You see, hardship didn't hinder Paul's Bible-speaking tongue. Paul knew the Bible, the gospel were so vital, so important to others, it must be spoken amidst great hardship. And the question is, do we have this kind of mindset that no matter what hardship we face, no matter what criticism we receive for speaking the word, we will speak God's word into the life of others? Sometimes speaking God's word will be speaking it amidst hardship. Other people may not like what you're sharing. Sometimes the person that you're trying to encourage and challenge sometimes with the word of God doesn't always take it well. But will you see it as worth it? The word of God is worth it. Maybe even the criticism comes from that other person's friends or family members or coworkers, and they say, how can you listen to that Bible stuff? It's so outdated. It's bad advice. Is that going to deter you from speaking the truth? Or are you going to boldly speak it, even though you face criticism, even though you face antagonism, for you know the value of God's word? And Paul even makes it clear by doing this, it's never in vain. It's not in vain. God calls us to faithfully and boldly share the word of God, and he does, and his word does what he wants it to do. It never returns void, and we can rest assured it never returns void. So be willing to speak the word of God faithfully, boldly into the lives of other people, knowing God will do what he needs to do. You can count on that. Now, of course, when you speak the word of God into other people's lives, you don't always see what God is doing. You don't always see it, but you can know God is at work. He's using his word to mold and shape people into the image of Christ. And so we share God's word boldly and faithfully, but we do so, the manner and how you do so is important, right? We do so genuinely, we do so accurately, and with God-honoring motives. Paul really emphasizes that when he talks about how he spoke to God's word, how his co-laborers spoke God's word. They did it in order to please God. You see, he points out they didn't use deception. They didn't use flattery. They didn't try to people please. They conducted themselves rightly among the Thessalonians. All that they did was for the glory of God, not for the glory of man. God was witness to this. And so the question is, how do you talk to and relate to others? Do you talk to people in genuine, God-honoring ways? Because that's going to make a huge difference on the health and the depth of your relationships with other people. Because you think about, if you use deception, you are going to decimate trust. Would you want to be close to someone that you knew tried to deceive you? Of course not. They tried to hurt you, not help you. We don't use words of flattery. We don't just try to please people. Because you often, when you use words of flattery, you may make a lot of friends up front, but what happens in the long run? It's found out and all the friends are gone. It's not pleasing to God. And so would you want to be close to someone who you knew they were just using words of flattery all the time, and you found out what they were doing? Of course not. Because words of flattery show someone they're not genuine, right? They're not being genuine with you. We don't really want to be close to ingenuine people, do we? We want to be close to people who show the real them and who want to know the real us. That's who we want to be close to. You see, your friendships can't go to the depth that they could if you were only riding on the coattails of flattery. Right, and there's a reason, is because you're using fake and flowery words. You're not standing upon anything real. So we cannot do that. What people need in their relationships is they need God-honoring truth. God-honoring truth above all. And so that's why Paul talks about how he was like a father, and he exhorted and encouraged and charged the Thessalonians to walk in a manner worthy of God. And as people of the word, when we see someone who is willing to speak the truth in love to us, even when it's hard, it makes an impact on us. And we see their love. It draws us closer to them because we see, man, they truly care. They were willing to speak even the hard truth at times in love for me. And they're just using God's word to help us. We see that, man, they care. Even if they put themselves up out there, even though they faced possible rejection in order to help me. And so when you tie this genuine Bible-infused speech with godly conduct, it is this match made for deep, flourishing relationships. What Christian wouldn't want to be close to someone like that who is just genuinely speaking God's word in love and care? We'd love to have a relationship like that. And so how do our relationships go deeper? When our conversations are Bible-infused and genuine. Because you can't go truly, even spiritually, deeper without God's Word. Because God's Word, it allows our relationships to go deeper than they ever could without it. Because what are you doing? You're speaking God's Word, and so you are now united and governed by God and His Word. Governed by what is true, what is real, and what will truly bring health and strength. It helps us to grow into people who walk worthy of the Lord. It promotes trust because you're being genuine. And so we boldly, we accurately speak Scripture into each person's life, knowing it's not in vain. God's word will do what it needs to do. And so the question is, do you speak God's word into other people's lives? And this could look like a variety of different things, in different ways, right? And could just be encouraging someone with Scripture when they're discouraged. It could be that you share with them what God has been teaching you in your devotions or in your life. And it could mean, hey, discussing something about truth found in the sermon. Hey, what do you think about what the pastor said there? You know, and having a discussion there and growing. And this kind of talk, deeply rooted in the Word of God, Bible-infused talk, it deepens our relationships because it starts to open our hearts. The truth of God's Word opens our hearts, and then we start to be more vulnerable with one another as God's Word just pries open our hearts and does heart surgery on us. And it grows us together when we discuss it together. You have been entrusted with God's Word. Do you speak it, though? Remember, it doesn't return void. It really and truly is the Word of God. It works in us believers. Speak it boldly, accurately, genuinely in the lives of people, all for the glory of God. And when you do this regularly, stand back and be amazed. Watch God deepen our relationships. And so here we see, of course, our relationships are to be Bible-infused. But number two, relationships are to be loving and close. Here we go. Loving and close. If you had to count how many relationships you had with, how many close relationships you had with others in this church, how many would there be? I want you to just think about that. How many would there be if you had to say, this is how many close relationships? And sadly, many of us are missing out on loving and close Jonathan and David-like relationships in church. And yet here we read in 1 Thessalonians 2, and you can't help but notice Paul's loving and close relationship with the Thessalonians. And one thing you see about Paul is he's lovingly sacrificial. I mean, the guy is just like beaming with a loving sacrifice for other people. We already learned he spoke the word of God faithfully amidst hardship. That shows loving sacrifice. He's also willing to make sure that he's not a burden to any of them. He's working hard night and day to accomplish this. And so you think about loving and close relationships. A key is that you have to show loving sacrifice. Loving sacrifice. If you're ever going to be close and loving with someone else, you have to have a loving sacrifice for one another. You see, when we see someone lovingly sacrifice for us, isn't there something in that that just draws our hearts to them? Imagine just someone lovingly sacrifice for you in just a big way, and you're just like, wow. and your heart is drawn to them, that is because loving sacrifice is like a magnet that draws our hearts together. There's something that draws us together. We see their love on display, and often it makes us want to do something for them in return out of love, right? In our gratefulness to them. You know, sometimes we want deep relationships and we want them to just magically happen at the snap of our finger, but it doesn't work like that. It takes time. It takes intentionality. It takes effort. It takes this effort of loving sacrifice, where loving act after loving act is like sort of like a building up a house. You're building up a house. What happens? It happens slowly. It happens steadily, but it happens strongly. And what happens is loving act after loving act builds your relationship in love so that it becomes deep and strong and close, so that any winds of hardship, passing wind of hardship comes, and it doesn't fall like a deck of cards, but it is strong and stable. And so the question is, do you want deep relationships? You cannot do it. You cannot do it without loving sacrifice for one another. It's impossible. You have to have loving sacrifice, because relationships are made deep in the deep well of love. That is where they are made deep. Love unites. It binds. It strengthens. It builds up a relationship. And that's what you see with Paul and his co-workers and his the Thessalonians. But look further at the love of Paul. Look there at verse 7. Look at how he relates to them. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. I mean, the great apostle Paul likens himself to a nursing mother. I mean, this guy was humble. Right? You know, some of us manly men, I would never claim that about myself, right? I wouldn't. But here's Paul, man, of course, a godly man. And he's saying, hey, I was like a nursing mother to you. It's showing he was gentle with them. He cared about them. He took them where they are, where they were at, and wanted them to grow and nurtured them along. And so we shouldn't, you know, as we relate to other people, we don't just come in hard-headed and rough and harsh and say, come on, just get this, or you should be here, come on, right? We aren't rough and harsh with people, but we gently bear with them. Think about how often the Bible talks about bearing with one another, right? We bear with them as they're struggling. We have our own struggles, but we are gentle and kind. Are you gentle with others in love? No one wants to be close to someone who is harsh and rough with them. But you are drawn to people who gently love you, who treat you gently. In fact, Paul even goes further. So he likens himself to a nursing mother, but also as an instructing father. In verses 11 and 12, he talks about how he was like a father and he exhorted them and encouraged them and charged them to walk in a manner worthy of God. And so you see here, Paul is showing his relationship. How did he relate to other people, specifically the Thessalonians? And you see he was gentle, but he was also instructive. You notice he was tender, but he also charged them, meaning he challenged them, right? And so you see this balance between this tender care, but also this challenging love that he wants to challenge them to grow on and to mature. And it's showing us that this is sort of how relationships are to be in the church, where we're gentle and tender with others, but we also want to see them grow. And so sometimes we need to challenge them on and exhort them. And sometimes a loving rebuke if they're going down the wrong path. And this balance really deepens your relationship, because what happens is that person sees your heart for them. They're like, man, they may challenge me on, but they are so kind and gracious with me. I can tell, man, they truly love me. They want the best for me, right? And that really makes an impact on our relationships, because they see that we aren't just out to get them and just sort of out and rough and tough with them and harsh with them and that's it. But they see, man, they care. They care about me. They want me to grow in my walk with the Lord and to thrive. Do you show gentleness and kindness and tenderness in your relationships? Because if you're only harsh and rough with people, it is not going to create a deepening relationship. Because no one wants to be around with someone who is only and ever harsh with them. I'm sure you wouldn't want to. But are you willing also to exhort people, encourage and challenge others to walk with the Lord? Iron sharpens iron, the Bible says. But to do so, you have to sometimes challenge each other. You have to sharpen one another. You have to, help them along. And so often, we are too fearful of how someone will react to our loving rebuke of them. And so we don't speak up when they really need us to. They really need us to speak in love. Speak the truth in love. And yet, what does Proverbs say? Faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. And so we should want them, I want you to grow in the Lord and follow the Lord more and more. And so Paul and how he relates to the Thessalonians shows us that our relationships can and should be close and loving like a family. How he relates to them, he's talking about this imagery of like a family, a nursing mother, your instructing father, right? And so he's just showing us this is our relationship should be like, a family-like relationships. You think about throughout the New Testament, talks about being brothers and sisters in Christ and our relationships and what we should be doing and how they should be close and loving and brotherly love, right? The brotherhood and all of these terms and this imagery of family and closeness and all of that is seen here, even in 1 Thessalonians 2. And so the question is, do your relationships with others in this church look like family relationships? Do they look like family relationships? And sadly, that's not always the case. But rather, our relationships, they often look like sort of distant coworkers. We're okay, we're sort of in this together, but we're not super close. We're working on the same team, but, we're not super close. Or even just simply shallow friends or acquaintances, but it should be more. Just listen to how Paul talks to these people in verse 8. This is amazing. So being affectionately desirous of you, we are ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves because you had become very dear to us. Talk about closeness. I mean, think about this. Would you ever use these words for another person in this room who wasn't in your immediate family? Isn't that something? Isn't that something? And yet here is Paul. And Paul, he would travel pretty regularly around to different places. So it's not like he was crazy amounts of time. It's not like he was 30 years in Thessalonica. I mean, but yet here he is, and he's talking this way to these people. Affectionately desirous of you, sharing our own selves, very dear to us. It's showing there's something missing in many of our relationships in church. That is hindering us from going deeper. That is revealing that we're not deep enough, that we are truly average depth, maybe, like we said. And Paul says, we're affectionately desirous of the Thessalonians. Such heartfelt affection and love. The word really has this idea of strong yearning for them. A strong longing to share the gospel. To share their very selves with them. You can see they had become very dear to Paul and his co-workers, co-laborers. Are the people in this room very dear to you? Would you say that? These people are very dear to my heart. Do you truly love them deeply? That you have this strong longing to be with them, a strong yearning to talk with them and share with them God's word, to share your very self with them. So often we are guarded, aren't we? We are so guarded with sharing our life with others, and yet Paul, the great apostle Paul, is saying, I shared myself with you. He shared himself. And this takes risk, doesn't it? When you open up your heart, you open up yourself to others, you could get hurt. But let me tell you this. Love is willing to take the risk. It takes the risk. Paul was willing to take the risk. And let me tell you, this is important. If you do not share your heart, if you do not share yourself with others, your relationships will never go deeper. They will not. If you do not share your heart, share yourself, open up yourself, be vulnerable, your relationships will only and ever be shallow. They will. They will. Because you have a wall up. You have a fence. No one can get through. There are too many barriers to your heart. And they can't help you. They can't speak truth to you. They can't help you when no one is seeing and you're struggling behind closed doors. And no one can help you because they don't know. You have put up the wall. And you have not let no one in. And you are struggling alone. When somebody could have helped you. And so the thing is, you have to open up your heart. You have to share your life with others. We have to be willingly put ourselves out there in love. And when we see others do this to for us, when we see others open up to us, we should reciprocate. And when someone opens up to you, we should be gentle with them, loving and forgiving and tender. Because we see, wow, they want to open up with me. I'm not going to just make fun of them or be harsh with them or act awkward around them. No, I'm going to show tenderness and love. Wow, they're opening up their heart to me. Because when people know if I open up and it's going to be disgust or faces or awkwardness, I'm not going to open up. But if they know if I open up, I know he's going to be tender with me and loving. He's not going to be awkward. She's not going to be awkward with me if I share what I've been struggling with. They're going to show compassion with me if I open up. That's when people open up even more. Because they know I'm in this safe community where there is tender love, there is forgiveness, there is compassion, there is understanding, and they love me here. And that is a place where relationships like this, they thrive. And so, how do you respond to those even who open up to you? And do you open up to others? First Baptist, let's be willing to open up and share our very selves with one another. Let's share our joys and delights, our burdens and struggles, everything in between. Let's not walk around with fences and barriers and walls around us, but let's open up the door and let love flow between us. And this love just leads to just great desire and longing when we're apart from one another, so that, as Paul often talks about even here, how he's eager to see them face to face. And he talked about this various places with other churches. He just longs to be with them and see them once again in person. And do we feel that way here with one another? That like if we didn't see each other for a while, we would feel like, there's something missing. I long to be with the people of God. I remember back when we didn't see each other for a while there at the beginning of COVID, and it was just like, man, there's something missing. It doesn't feel right, right? I miss the people of God. When we were apart, there was something missing. It was hard, and that's really what it should be like for each of us. Even where if someone hasn't been here for a while, man, I miss that person. I'm going to go check on that person. That's the way it should be. That's what a family does. Yet this kind of love is so deep also that when we're apart, our hearts are so bound together that distance can't rend our hearts apart. That's what Paul talks about here. Distance didn't rend their hearts apart. They might not have been in person, but their hearts were knit together in love. And what joy this brings to relationships. That's what Paul talks about. It's joy at the very end in verses 19 to 20. For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy. Do we talk this way about one another? You are my joy
Paul found great joy in the Thessalonians that he got to play a part in their walk with the Lord. And when you see someone grow in their faith and you get to play a part in that, that brings joy. What a thing to rejoice in. To rejoice in other people. And someday we can stand before Christ joyfully boasting in the life of other people that we have invested in. And say, that is my joy. I got to play a part in that person's life. I was like iron sharpening iron, so now they're even sharper. And God used me in that person's life. That is my crown of boasting. You see, we are to have deep relationships with others in the church. It's true. We are to have deep relationships with others in the church. This is not just sort of an optional, if you feel like it. No, we are to have it. And Paul shows us this in his life, in his writings. And God, of course, is speaking through that and showing us that these are what our relationships are to be like as brothers and sisters in Christ. This loving closeness, this deepness, this strength in our relationships. That deepness can and should be a reality. In our relationships here with one another, we can be deeply rooted in the Word of God, speaking the truth to one another, be deeply affectionate with one another. This is possible, church. It's possible. And when we don't go deep with others, we are missing out on something. Many times we don't think about this, right? Oh, if I don't go deep with others, what am I missing? Well, if you don't go deep with others, you are missing out on something that can help you to grow and be encouraged and give you great joy. You're missing out on helping others grow. These things are possible. But they're only possible because Christ. Because we're in Christ. We're unified in Him because He shed His blood for us and died for us and rose again, uniting us by His blood and giving us the spirit of unity that brings us together. And so let's reimagine the relationship of the men I talked about at the beginning. Remember Randy and Jim? Let's reimagine their relationship. Imagine now that it's deep instead of shallow, okay? They have gone to church, like I said, for 30 years together, sat near each other every week. But in this scenario, it's different because they, for 30 years, have been close and loving friends. They have been there when each other needed it. When Jim's marriage was struggling, Randy met with him weekly to help him through it, and this played a big part on why things turned around in his marriage. One time when Randy was injured for a month, Jim would call him every other day and check in on him and share a Bible verse with him, and this really uplifted Randy and helped him through it all. They also meet up regularly for breakfast monthly, and they just check on how the other person is doing, and they would share their struggles and their burdens, but also their joys. When they sinned against each other, apologies were made, forgiveness readily extended. Through the ups and downs, they were there for each other. And now, as Randy visits Jim on his deathbed, it is completely different than the other scenario. Because their relationship has grown deep. And so Randy knows exactly the kinds of things Jim would need to hear, and he is there for him. Jim is encouraged by the scripture that Randy recites and the conversation they have, the prayer that Randy gives. It is so deep, it is so meaningful, because it is the outworking of their deep, solid relationship that has been built for 30 years. And Jim finishes his race well, helped on by Randy by his side. And they look forward to the day when they will see each other again in glory. What a difference a deep relationship can have. This kind of relationship, let me tell you, is possible. It is possible. It is possible with others in this church. And so follow Paul's example, rely upon the Spirit's power, strive for it. May our relationships be Bible-infused, loving and close. Let's pursue this and see what God will do in our relationships here at First Baptist. Let's pray. Dear good and gracious Heavenly Father, you have brought us together in unity as a family through the blood of Jesus. We're so grateful that you have done what only you can do, that we were once strangers and aliens apart from you, but you have reconciled us to yourself through Jesus' blood. Thank you so much for bringing us together that we can now be called brothers and sisters in Christ. But I pray that we would live out that brotherhood and that sisterhood, that we live out this true family reality in our relationships with one another here in the church. I pray that you would empower us and strengthen us to do that, that we look to your word through it all, and that we would truly make an impact in one another's lives. And so I pray that you would really instill in us this desire in this heart to go deeper with one another. I pray that you would help us to lower our walls and to be vulnerable and open with others, to share our struggles so that we can be helped and that we can help one another, and that we would show grace and love through it all. And it's in Christ's precious name I pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening. We pray that you were encouraged by the sermon today. This sermon was preached at First Baptist Church of Clearfield, Pennsylvania. If you'd like more information about our church, you can visit our website at fbcclearfield.com. May God grant you grace and peace as you look to Him today.